Don't miss the OTR Super Sprint, SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park, 24th to the 26th of August. Get your tickets at thebend.com.au.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Ruin Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Comwire IT, complete IT support and cloud solutions business.
Oh, well, now I've got to the bottom of it. I've got to the bottom of our loss against the Crows on the weekend. Talking to the microphone, Bradley.
Yeah, not good enough.
No, I'm sounding okay now.
Crook as a dog, and it all happened to you. Hey, you gave it to
gave
me.
Bloody oath I did.
That's why you were snuggling up to me last Thursday.
Exactly.
I couldn't believe it. Shouldn't believe how close he was getting last
week. So you've been crook.
No, I haven't been too bad, mate. I've been, a little bit like this, I guess. A bit nasally, a bit chesty. All good.
Dirty tactics.
I'd give you some tissues, but Ditz has been crying in them all week, so we run out. But, you guys can whinge a little bit after a loss in the showdown, can't you?
What are we whinging about?
The old goal review and
very contentious, wasn't it? Very contentious.
Gee whiz, just kick straight and you might have been all right.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And I guess if the umpires got it right, we might have been right.
God, you end up talking yourself into losing to West Coast.
We've moved on from this now, mate. We've moved on. So, it was a tough one.
Doesn't sound like it.
We've got to talk it up to you, don't we?
Wasn't it a good game, though, Ebo?
It was.
Do you love playing on Sloaney? Because you're both very similar the way you play, and you're both hard at it.
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, like, we didn't go into the game with that plan, but, he started getting on top, you know, in that first half, and, the way the game sort of panned out, I went to him and tried to close him out a little bit. And
is he good to play? Because he's a good, fair,
he is,
honest,
mate.
That's the way you want to play against
someone.
Yeah,
I've always respected Sloaney in the way that he goes about it. He's, you know, like you said, he's tough at the ball, and he actually runs hard defensively, whereas a lot of other mids that you play on, that's sort of where you can expose them, and that's a lot of the time with the way I play on those sort of guys is, you know, try and get the ball as well and really try and, you know, expose them the other way. And whereas Sloaney, he is defensively minded, and there's times when I remember running, you know, from the back pocket and I was streaming down the ground thinking, yeah, I'm on here, I'm going to get it in the forward pocket and kick a goal. I look behind me and he's right there, you know. So they're the type of guys that you respect and he goes about it the right way.
I was on the boundary line for the game. It was furious. It was tough. It was tight the whole game. It was actually relentless. I was sitting there going, these blokes are going to be absolutely cooked next week, both teams. Pulled up?
Mate, I was pretty sore after the game and pretty tired, that's for sure. Like, I haven't really had cramps like I did on the weekend for months.
What, during the game or after
the game? Right at the end. Like, seriously,
really?
The last, like, effort. I went bang, bang.
Yeah, both hammies super
went.
Fit, so.
Yeah, both hammies went. Both quads went. I'm thinking, shit, this is...
That's all right.
This hasn't happened in a long time. So, you know, you just knew that it was a grueling game. And, yeah, like you said, it was hotly contested and it was good. It just, wasn't the outcome we're after, was
it? So after a game like that, seriously, because there is this thing as a showdown letdown, and that could be mental as much as it could be physical from the tough games. Is it more about recovery at training and less about... working on your skills and fitness?
Yeah, up until this point it has been, and that's, what was it?
Is it harder Sunday to recover? Do you reckon the game, is it getting harder to recover from?
No, I don't think so.
In general? No,
I reckon the way the sports scientists and stuff have evolved as well, they've been able to really, you know, get their monitoring down to a fine art. You know, we've got a guy at the club, Stu Graham, he's, you know, PhD in pretty much load monitoring.
So what do they do? Tell me how you monitor your, how your body is.
Well, the back office sort of stuff is a lot around, you know, tracking GPS
in the game
and in-game, in training. And then from there, they're able to, they've put it in, like, you know, modelled it to pretty much predict your performance and predict your, outputs for the following weeks and stuff on that. So it's
Do you get any little bits of blood taken or any of that stuff?
They've sort of moved away from that. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, so we haven't really had many bloods taken or anything like that.
How you feel or how you slept
A little bit of wellness once a week, I reckon.
So there's not much, just the GPS?
A bit of GPS, and I think there's, we do a weekly screen and then a weekly, like, individual sort of screen on how you're feeling, and then from that they can gauge pretty well how you're tracking. So it's pretty impressive these days, and the boys at the club are, world class, I guess.
Mm. No, that's good. Do you get the footies out at all, or?
Yeah, well, of course, mate. That's the beauty of it. That's
here
the
he comes, Dit. Here he comes. Look at it.
The GPS tracks whilst you're training, whilst you've got the footy in hand.
Okay.
So that's the beauty of it.
No, I'm glad
you've got more time with ball in hand.
Righto. I've got more advice from Brad Eaton in just a moment.
Oh, no, no, the knives are out.
He's been very quiet,
they're
hasn't
getting
he?
Getting sharpened.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can't very get passive aggressive
here.
Just...
Crows over win. Have a listen. I can't get a bloody word in anymore.
I'm trying to dig some gold out from where.
Hey, Eba, I want to ask you about a couple of players. I know it's hard for you to talk about your teammates, but there's speculation today in the paper about Sam Powell-Pepper, which I'm a bit surprised at, saying that his position, you know, could be on the line. But well, he's probably had a couple of quiet weeks, but he's in the side for sure.
Yeah, he's had a couple of quiet weeks, I guess. And that's
11, 14 and 11 he's had in the last 3 weeks.
Right, there you go. There's a few. Yeah. Like that. Yeah, and I guess like... yeah, in a team that's going pretty well and that, I guess you just got to see where the team's at. But yeah, I'm not too sure where Peps is at. He's sort of had a few roles on players and probably hasn't been getting them done as well as what they'd hoped and expected. So I think that like he's a young player that'll know what he's going to bring in the future and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I guess we'll wait and see. But, yeah, I'm not too sure on that one.
There's a few clubs with a bit of dough around, Spear in their salary cap, and North Melbourne and St Kilda and Carlton and a few Victorian clubs. And Jared Pollock's name's been bandied around, and Channel 7 went pretty hard the other night that Porter basically said, oh, well, we can't compete with it. 5 years at 725 or 750, which is huge money. Huge money for a bloke who probably never finished in the top seven or eight in the best
probably.
And fairest.
Yeah, probably.
And Porter rumoured to be talking 3 years at 5,550. You have to let him go.
Well, yeah, I don't think they can actually match 7, 25. No. I reckon that's a lot of money. And for someone like Polly,
that's in
like
the top category.
Yeah, that's it. And so I guess like, you know, if we're sitting there and Polly says, yeah, I'm gonna go, you almost can't.
Well, you can't blame him.
No, that's it. You can't blame
that. There's $2 million gap in the guaranteed money.
That's it. Security of that extra 2 years, and he's coming out as the 31-year-old and can be pretty well set. So I guess Polly's got a bit of a decision to make, and I guess I haven't actually spoken to him about it personally, but yeah, I guess the papers have sort of all jumped on it in the news and that. But I think that he's a ripping fella, and he's been really good to have around the club. So you know, we don't want to lose him. But when it comes to an extra $2 million bucks or whatever,
he's been great.
He has had a good year.
He has been good, and he's been probably top five BNF this year, and been really good.
Roo's not prone to exaggeration or making big statements, but after the game on the weekend, Roo said that Robbie Gray is our best ever player.
Best ever.
In the AFL, right? Since the take into account Gavin Wanganeen, Warren Treadray.
Mate, when you stop.
I can mention Josh Franco, very, very good player. There's others. Brendan Lade, in a different way, was a very, very good player.
What I like about Robbie Gray is he can win a game off his own boot in the forward line, which we've seen him do it nearly on the weekend and last showdown and plenty of other times. And as soon as you're in trouble, put him in the middle, and he's just super creative there. And he's just very hard to match up on. And I reckon those versatile players that are match winners are the ones that Josh Franco, tough, no doubt about it. Good midfielder, no good forward, never did any damage forward. And that's not a knock on him. It's just
his go was in the middle. I agree with that. Yeah,
Treaders is a gun. There's no doubt about that.
Wanganeen back and forward.
I reckon he played his best footy at Port Adelaide. He played his half of his good footy at Essendon. That's all I'm saying. Robbie Gray's been all at Port, but he's in the conversation, isn't he?
All right, he's in the conversation.
No, it's a fair point, because I reckon say in 10 years' time, when you look back, you can always look back and say, "Oh, they were fantastic." You know, so I reckon he will definitely be up in the top two or three, and
certainly his last 5 years.
I'd say in time, that he probably will go down.
Early on, he was, his body let him down a little bit, and he couldn't quite get to...
He's been able to produce the last 5 or 6 years has been,
And thanks for the bottle of that Hey Diddle, your wine, too, because I drank that Sunday.
Did you share it?
Hey, he shared it with me.
Shared it with Sarah.
He shared the photo with me just to really rub the salt in the wound after the showdown.
Drink it straight out of the bottle. Beautiful stuff.
Hey, Ebo, thanks for coming in, mate. Good luck against... We haven't even mentioned the West Coast. They've been a bogey side, so good luck against the Eagles this
thanks,
weekend.
Yeah, thanks, mate. No, we'll make sure we can bounce back.
Yep, good on you, mate. Brad Ebert. Good
See
fella.
You, Ebo. Ditz, there's been a lot of talk about potentially drilling for oil in the Great Australian Bight.
Yep.
I know, a lot of people at Port Lincoln and Ceduna are for it, and a lot of people over there are against it because, it'd be a massive boom for that area and for the state. There's talks of thousands of jobs and billions of dollars and all this sort of stuff, but there's also a lot of people against it. The Greenies, obviously, will be hell-bent on trying to stop it. At the moment in today's paper, there's talk about the tuna industry saying, they need to have a look at all the environmental reports and studies because they employ, around about 1,000 people over there as well and, many hundreds of millions of dollars. This is interesting. I didn't actually know this. I don't know a bit about the tuna industry, but the whole tuna stock, about 90% of the global tuna stock swim through the bite and stay there for about up to 6 months every year.
Wow.
They swim around.
90%.
So they go for a decent swim and now, have a feed at a certain time.
What I've learnt with fish over the years is if there are pylons or if there's a structure in the water, they'll swim around it.
Right.
They can actually divert and go around it.
What do you mean?
Well,
they're not going to swim straight into it.
No, this is my point. What's it going to matter if we put and just start drilling for oil there?
Oh, no. Well, if you have a spill.
They'll go around it.
No, but yeah. Well, you've seen some of the big spills in America where it's just a catastrophe.
Yeah, that clean it up.
Yeah, no, but it takes years and years. And anyway, this is a the tuna industry are worried about drilling for oil. Any ideas?
Right. Okay. Well, they probably know more than I do.
Yeah, but I reckon they probably, both of us.
Right. But fish can swim, Roo.
Yes, they can. And you know what I've told you about tuna? Another impressive stat.
I'm seeing how many fish drown.
Hey, tuna have to swim a metre every second of their life.
Right.
To stay alive.
Do they really?
Because they don't have gills. They have to keep moving.
Ah, there you go.
There you go.
Right.
So unlike us, they don't sit still for very long, tuna. They just keep on swimming.
Righto. All right. Hey, what's happening up in the Riverland? Your neck of the woods is a bit controversial.
Well, there's always a fair bit of stuff happening up there, but some idiot wants to turn the Big Orange into a strip club.
Which, there you're talking.
Come on. Don't be disrespectful. The Big Orange was big back in the 80s.
That's what's called the Big Orange.
But it's been basically empty for a long time.
Wouldn't be the same if you just called it Orange.
No, but it is the Big Orange.
Yeah.
And look, this was iconic, this thing, but it hasn't been used for a while. And because the orange industry was pretty sad for a fair while, but it's back up and firing now. But bloke was mucking around saying he wants to turn into a strip joint. But that is disrespectful, mate, to the Big Orange.
Not in Roo's backyard.
You do not disrespect the Big Orange.
No, okay, not at all. Now, what about during the night, the earthquake? In fact, it wasn't during the night. It was about 8:30 last night, wasn't it? Did you feel anything?
No, I didn't. I was at a function last night, so
hang on. There we go.
Is it what it sort of sounded like, was
it? Yeah, something like that, yeah. No, but our house shook. We definitely felt it.
Your house shook?
Yeah, some people say about 10 seconds they felt it for, which is quite a long time, yeah. So a little bit frightening when that sort of thing happens.
I didn't feel anything.
But in Adelaide, over the years, we've had a lot of earth tremors here. We are on a fault line, so it does happen quite a bit.
So you felt it?
Yeah,
up
definitely.
At Hundorf?
Mm.
Wow.
Definitely felt it in the hills. People right through the suburbs were ringing radio stations last night saying they felt it. So
133353, did you feel it?
Tell us what happened at your place.
Yeah, 133353, give us a buzz on did you feel the earthquake last night in little old Adelaide?
Yeah, how long did it last and what did it do at your place? Yeah, definitely. I was in Sydney years ago. There was a big earthquake in Newcastle in New South Wales and I happened to be in Sydney on the day. And the house I was in, everything rattled. So Newcastle's a fair way from Sydney, but you definitely feel all of the aftershocks and everything.
Right, yeah. Interesting stuff.
Did the earth move for you last night?
Yeah,
did I
didn't
feel the earthquake?
No, it wasn't that good for me. Let's go to Ranella. G'day, Michael.
Hey, how you going, boys?
Good, Michael.
What
did
happened,
you feel it?
Yeah, what happened down south?
Yeah, we felt it. So our whole house shook for about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Really?
It was one of those ones, you know, when a really big, heavy truck goes past and you feel the whole vibrate?
Yeah.
It felt like that at first, and we were like, what was that? And, they went and saw the kids, and they were quite excited. What was that? A little bit scared to start with, but then we told them what it was. And, it's probably only the second time I felt that in Adelaide.
Yeah. So you kind of worked out pretty quickly that it must have been some sort of earth tremor.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. What was it, about 3.2 on the Richter scale?
I think 3.2,
yeah. Yeah, it's quite significant, for sure. All right, good on you, Michael.
Yeah.
So there you go, Roo. It was definitely happening out there.
One person felt it.
Or have we only got one listener? Is that what's going on?
Let's go to the Adelaide Hills. G'day, Mark.
How you going there, fellas?
What happened to you, buddy?
Well, I was sitting in the office doing some bit of work because the epicentre was probably about 3 or 4 kilometres away from me because I live up the Tunkillo.
up in the
hills.
Yeah.
And look, it was deathly quiet, and you can actually hear it. It's like a big freight train coming. It just comes from a distance, and you can hear it rolling. Mm. And then as it gets closer, the whole house shook.
Because, Mark, the epicentre, I've read in the paper this morning, they're saying Palmer, which is quite near Tunkillo, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And it worked out as probably between me and Palmer,
right.
I reckon it worked out about 5 kilometres away from home.
Yeah, right. All right.
But, just everything, it was just deathly quiet, and you feel this vibration. It comes from a distance, and then it sort of comes, and then all the pictures shook on the wall and everything, and then it was gone, and it was just like, hell, what was that?
Yeah. And then what did you do? Did you just find out there was an earthquake and go back to work, or did you stop work, or did you know?
No. I got into Facebook and I said, was that a tremor? And, of course, then it just lit up, you know, everyone from... And I had a friend from Encompass who survived the Christchurch earthquake.
Oh, wow.
And she said, oh, that was 7.2, so that was nothing.
Yeah. Righto. Only a baby.
All right, Mark. Good on you, Mark. Thanks for your call, buddy. Let's go to Happy Valley. G'day, Sean.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good. Did you feel the earthquake?
Oh, mate, no, I didn't actually feel the earthquake. I just was saying a wag on the phone. I just wanted to maybe just educate you a little bit on the tuna fish thing.
Hang on.
They swim around poles.
They swim around poles, but look, it's not like they're going to have to mop up, you know, lots of tuna oil. They're going to have to mop up lots of other oil if there's an issue.
Right.
Now, the other thing, bluefin tuna, yellowfin tuna, very popular over on the West Coast, as you'd know.
Mm-hmm.
The breed of fish actually escapes my mind at the moment. On the East Coast, there's a breed of fish, and they're quite prominent for larger schools, but they'll only swim as far as Brisbane.
Right.
A lot of people think it's got something to do with the tropics and where they go, the water gets warm. But in actual fact, it's because they don't want to end up in Cairns.
backpackers or something.
On the big orange.
Was that your tuna lesson? Seriously.
That's my tuna lesson. On the big orange tree.
Mate, you'd fit right in on this show.
Yeah. The big orange.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I understand that, but anything that helps the citrus industry has got to be a good thing.
Oh, don't ever ring again,
Sean. That
was unbelievable. That was two bits of useless information. Oh. Queensland tuna that don't go past Brisbane.
Yeah. No, you missed his joke. They don't want to end up in Cairns.
Oh, no.
Oh, are you fair dinkum?
Yes. I didn't. You missed, I only got
that was his joke. Boom, boom.
Night,
boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
I'm
Anthony Lehman.
Good morning, Limo.
G'day, guys. Great to be on board. You know what I love about you two? You are absolute professionals.
Ah, we ever, mate. We do our research. We work hard. We're early to bed. We're early to rise.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I love about you two. You've just signed a brand new 3-year deal.
Yep.
The radio world, as well as Adelaide generally, has celebrated that fact. And there's no chance you'd take advantage of that new 3-year deal. Like Roo, for example, 312 games for the Crows. You wouldn't have gone out drinking the night before any of those games, would you?
I can't say no.
Hang on a sec.
I went out with one bloke who might have had a few drinks, and I was just happened to be with him. And
Full forward?
He might have kicked 13 on one of the best players ever to play at full back.
That wouldn't have been round one, 1994, would it?
Gee, have you got a good memory, Lemo?
What a bro.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not talk about things like that. How are you going?
Hey, Dits, you wouldn't have drunk the night before any of your World Cup finals, would you?
Oh, did you see my results? I didn't win too many.
Anyway, I'm just saying, you two wouldn't drink the night before.
You're both
cherry ripe today, aren't you? Fresh as a daisy.
Always. It's actually 20 degrees here today, Lemo, and beautiful.
Yeah, very nice.
It's got nothing to do with yesterday.
I don't know what the weather's got to do with it. Anyway, it's a good distraction, Roo.
What are you up to?
Now, guys, you both commentate football. Roo, you do some great work with Fox Footy and Triple M. Dits, you do some great work with Triple M. I heard something on the commentary last week from Eddie Maguire, one of the masters, and I would love you two to bring a bit of this action to your commentary.
Okay.
Here's Eddie on the weekend on Fox Footy. Jake Stringer's lining up for a goal. Eddie quotes Shakespeare.
There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune, wrote Shakespeare. This is the moment for Jake Stringer. He comes in from 50. He bends it back and he puts it right through the middle. It's a big goal for the Bombers.
See, there we go. Now, guys, why can't we get a bit of Shakespeare into your commentary?
That's, you know what, that just means Collingwood are going well. If he's starting to quote Shakespeare, and he is up and about.
He just signed for 3 more years.
Hey, Dits, can we get a bit of Shakespeare in your commentary, please?
Yes, I would have thought Mark Rusciuto, 312 games, a road less travelled by the warrior from the Wakery Riverland.
Oh,
I mean, I don't know.
There we go.
Is that the sort of trash we want, is it?
Don't get me to quote Shakespeare because I don't know too much.
All right, Roo, in your commentary then, I'll give you a pass on Shakespeare. Can you bring us a bit of Dr. Seuss this week?
Dr. Seuss.
Something from The Cat in the Hat.
The Cat in the Hat, yeah. I could probably do something. Or Grug or something like that.
Actually, you know what? Are you doing Hawthorn Geelong on Saturday?
No, but I'll be watching, mate. That's going to be a cracker. Right.
I could quote the Wiggles. It could be a bit of wake up dits because I sometimes nod off. But,
Don't they sing that to you on the breakfast show a couple of times a week?
Wake up dits.
So anyway, a couple of challenges. You know, the other thing that makes me laugh about that is Jake Stringer, when he finishes his career, is going to be watching his highlights reel. Mm. He will not have a clue what's going on.
What on earth is that?
He'll be stumped. Hey, another one for you guys. The Bulldogs.
Mm.
I've got a bone to pick with the Bulldogs. No. Have they recently recruited a bunch of 15-year-old girls? Have they got a 10 or a dozen 15-year-old girls playing for
them? Why is that?
Have you? Well, have a listen, and I've got an issue with this. This is them singing their club song on Saturday night. Have a listen to the wooing that goes on.
Righto.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, lame-o.
How do you reckon that'd go down with Doug Hawkins?
Yeah. EJ Witten.
What is going on down there? No wonder they're going backwards.
This is meant to be the hard as nails Western Bulldogs. This is
Libba.
Footscray.
Libba.
This is Libba. This is Doug Hawkins. This is EJ Witten. Let's have a listen to that woo again. I mean, come on, guys.
Sounds like the Mardi Gras.
It is. I mean, it sounds like something you'd sing after a figure skating championship.
Yeah. Oh, this is show Will Anderson that.
I'll tell you this. Will be disgusted with that, as would Luke Darcy. Mm. Good news, though, for those Bulldogs. Mm. I believe they've got a gig touring with Blur when they're in Australia last year. They're doing the intro to Song 2. Have a listen.
Yeah, they get a gig for that, mate. Good work.
Oh, just fitting in beautifully right there. Yeah. Hey, guys, I'll let you both go. Not sober up. You're completely sober, of course.
Yeah, of course we are.
But just enjoy your Thursday.
Thanks, Limo. Sponsored by Barocca this morning.
Yeah.
Good on you, Limo.
Thanks, guys.
It's rant.
No. Look,
Was it the Catholic Church?
No.
Women's
footy?
I'm
off them at the moment. No, not
the AFL?
Well, they're always in my
smokers.
In my gun, yeah.
Drugs?
No, today it's high vis.
You can't ever go at high vis.
Nah, Oc Health and Safety, or WorkSafe, has gone absolutely crazily out of control.
What do you mean?
There's a great photo online today of 14 people in high vis and hard hats standing around looking at a hole in the road.
14. What do you mean looking at a hole?
They've dug a hole and there's 14 people.
What,
one's called Hole Inspector and one's called Hole Coordinator. This is fair dinkum. This is absolutely rigidigious.
Chief Hole Inspector.
Chief Hole Inspector and Chief Hole Coordinator. And the other 12.
Oh, come on.
The other 12, I don't know what they're doing.
Would have taken half a day to come up with a name.
Now, this takes me back a year ago. I had to visit a mate on a work site, and I got to the work site, and I was dressed in a suit and tie, and it was about a 5-metre walk from the gate to the ATCO hut. So I walked in, I said, "Oh, is Johnny here?" Well, this bloke has screamed at me, blue murder. "Don't you set foot on this work site. Where's your high-vis? Where's your hard hat? Where's your steel boots?" He's reeling off all this
stuff. Safety glasses.
I said, "Mate, I'm here to see Johnny. Like, what's your problem? Get off the work site." So he escorted me off.
Really?
Which went down real well, I can tell you. Yeah, my reaction to that was pretty good. But my point is this, it's out of control. And here's another example. Yesterday, driving up the freeway, Roo, you're doing 110. Next minute, down to 80, then down to 60, down to 40, down to 25. Nothing. There was a row of witch's hats. And when we actually got to the 25 bit.
What was there?
I thought, shit, what's going on here? There's a bloke leaning up against a car.
Oh,
traffic management. No, I'm fair dinkum.
No,
I'm serious. It's out of control. And what I'm appealing to here is if you are in safety or if you work on the roads, or please tell me I'm wrong. And
What about tradies and stuff like that? What they have to do these days?
I'm happy to be proven wrong here, but...
What are you saying? It's over the top.
It's over the top, surely. It is out of control. The number of times as well, you go up the freeway and the big flashing sign will say, hazard up ahead, slow down. You've got to slow down to 40 and there'll be a truck parked in the left lane. Oh, it's broken down or something. What on earth is that about? Seriously.
Yep. Over the top.
Well, have we gone too far? Today and check this photo. It's actually comical to see 14 blokes standing around looking at a hole. What are they all doing?
1-3-3-5-3. Do you agree with Dits on high-vis stuff? Have we gone over the top with safety on a work site?
This is just what it's done, Roo, is it's created jobs. This is jobs for the boys.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would cost jobs as well with being inefficient in a lot of places. Mining, so I mean, safety is absolutely crucial in terms
safety's of
no one
crucial.
Wants to look, get hurt on the work
no,
site.
No, definitely not. And as
but,
you know, look, two lives
but
were
are
lost.
They milking it a lot
two
of places?
Two lives were lost in building the RAH, and I take that very, very seriously. I'm not having a crack at that sort of situation, but when I see 14 blokes looking at a hole in the road...
someone called a chief hole inspector...
Yeah, you've got to ask questions, don't you?
Yeah, I would have thought.
Is Oc Health and Safety out of control?
Yeah, is it over the top? Let's go to Blakeview. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, Roo. Yeah, definitely agree with you, Dits.
Yeah.
I'm a truck driver, and we've got to wear safety boots. We've got a long sleeve pants, shirt, hat, glasses. And when we get out the truck, we've got to give the keys to the forklift driver and and chock the wheels. And then we've got to go stand in a special safety zone.
What do you mean, chock the wheels? For what? What do you have to do that for? On
well,
flat
apparently
land?
These days... Yeah, flat land. Apparently the handbrakes aren't good enough these days.
Why do you have to wear long pants?
I've got no idea.
You don't get sun,
even when it's 40 degrees, it's ridiculous.
That'd be for sun.
All right, get on your Paul. This is the stuff we're talking about.
Let's go to Broadview. G'day, Jack.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, Jack. What's your experience? Yeah.
So I'm a roofer, and we've had a few problems while working on the roof, especially with safety officers. We've actually been forced to wear hard hats on top of the roof.
Hard hats on top of the roof?
Well, the sky might fall in, you know, I mean.
We were trying to sort out why. We never got to the bottom of it, but I did actually end up losing my temper with them after losing my hard hat and it falling off the roof to be then called off site. And having a big meeting about it.
Oh,
God's sake. See, productivity goes through the floor then.
Yeah,
it's
well, that's the issue with it. Phones are going nuts here. We've got plenty more calls to take. Let's go to Hillbank. What do you think, John?
G'day, gentlemen. How are we?
Very well.
Health and safety has gone way over the top. In certain circumstances, it actually makes the job more dangerous.
More dangerous? Tell us how that happens.
Well, on the superway, truck drivers had to wear a harness and a lanyard to climb on the back of their truck to sling up a load or something like that.
A harness is only
effective when it's anchored around about 7 metres off the ground. So on the back of a truck, where do you anchor that?
That's crazy. That is
so
crazy.
So when the drivers questioned it, they said they were told, "Oh, it's just the looks for the pass-by."
Oh,
yeah, that's handy.
That is incredible. Are you serious?
Absolutely.
Just for looks, far out. Thanks, John. That's garbage. Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Steve.
G'day, fellas. What about all these lollipop people that are on their mobile phones when you go through the roadworks?
Yeah, stand around chatting.
You're looking at the mobile phones, not watching what's going on. And you hook yourself in safety-wise.
Oh, good point, Steve.
Yeah. On you, Steve. All right, let's go to Rock at Hope Valley. G'day, Rock.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, Rock.
Look, I delivered to a site in the city one day, had my orange vest on, and was told I had the wrong colour vest on.
Oh, what? Wrong colour high-vis?
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I was supposed to have a green one, not an orange one. And then when I got to the top to unload the machinery, I had to fill out a questionnaire.
No. What was it,
yeah.
Rock?
They wanted to know if I was licensed to drive the truck, if I'd had drug and alcohols in the last 24 hours, if the truck was roadworthy, has it been serviced regularly, all this other crap. Mm. A job that could have taken 10 minutes to drive in and unload, I was there for 20, 25 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you give him a bit of advice, you know, Rock?
Oh, yeah, mate. I'll give it to him all the time. I tell some of those blokes they must have failed parking inspector school. And I'll tell you what,
yeah.
They've taken that common sense out of the workplace.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's what it is. And that's why things take so long to get done in Adelaide.
Yeah.
Because of all the crap that goes on.
Yeah, red tape. All right, good on you, Rock. Thanks
good
for that.
Good on you, Rock.
Fancy having the wrong colour high-vis on.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
Wait, I can't believe he didn't get jailed for that.
Oh, yeah, he should go to the slammer.
Seriously.
Yep.
There you go.
Hey, let's give Rock a double to go and see the footy too,
yeah,
I think.
Let's do that. Roo, and I'm being serious here, no one has rung up to defend any of this.
Oh, that's crazy.
If you are a safety officer, as I said, please tell me I'm wrong. Please tell us we're wrong here. But we haven't had anyone call up, and we'll put you straight through, seriously.
Mate.
Please defend what goes on out
there. It's over the top in some of the mining sites from what I've heard. It's just about impossible to be efficient and do work.
Aru, we've got a safety officer on the phone.
Someone who's
going to tell us why we're wrong and, what it's all about. Hello, good morning. It's an anonymous caller. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so you are a safety officer?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, good. What can you tell us?
So as a subcontractor to a company that works across most of the tier one sites in Adelaide.
Yeah, tier one builders, the biggest builders.
Yeah, yeah. We do smaller builders as well, but I understand why some of the safety things they put across seem over the top to the guys on the ground.
Mm.
But from the legal side of things, the safety side of things, those companies get to that point from accidents on site, prosecutions, and there's a lot of smaller companies who don't have the money or the mindset to put safety in place that puts their workers at risk. And at the end of the day, the head contractor is ultimately responsible.
Mm.
So they have to make a point of safety being the priority so that they don't get caught up in someone else not giving a damn.
Getting sued and getting litigation and stuff like that and potentially losing lives.
Yep, that's right.
So when a caller rings us, though, and says he was refused entry because he had the wrong colour on, I mean, is that going too far?
Or a truck driver that has a harness and the bloke gets told, well, it's actually only for looking like we're safe.
Yeah, so that does sound to me like they're safety officer in that company doesn't really get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea that they've said is for looks.
Mm.
No, safety is not for looks.
No.
A good company that actually puts things in place, it's for a purpose.
Yeah, I agree.
So having the wrong colour high-vis is a bit over the top, but if they have if they write in their safety scripts, whatever, they have to do something in a particular way. If ever anything goes wrong and it goes to court, and they haven't done it that way,
you're in trouble.
Those guys on the ground, they can get personal fines. It's not just the head contractor and the company. Mm. The guys on the ground get personal fines.
Yep.
Okay.
No, thanks for your call.
All right. Thanks for that. And as I said, look, we want to be balanced. We want to get both sides of the story. But if you want to have a good laugh, go onto the Herald Sun website today and have a look at 14 blokes looking into a hole and all standing around. And
Ladies, ruined dits for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruined dits, angels.
Ah, good morning, angels.
Good morning, ruined dits.
Right, we've just got Batesy and Alice the Wag this morning, Roo. Mm. Now, Batesy, can you believe this? Alice is going on and on that we're rude to her. We don't treat her.
Is she precious?
I know, but she's like our little sister, Roo, isn't she?
You're meant to pick on them.
We're treating her like you treat your little sister.
Mm.
That's all.
You do sort of act like that too. Are you serious?
Yeah, she does.
I'll say something to them and they'll just be like, oh yeah, good one, Wag, shut up. And then they will just walk out. That's true. You're waiting for the just joking, love you, and then I just stand there and it never comes.
Demanding.
Treat them mean, keep them keen. But they're definitely not keen.
Right, Roo, this is serious. And Kate, if you're listening this morning, my beautiful wife, get rid of the TV right now. I want it gone before I get home. Netflix is ruining our sex lives. Apparently, we're addicted.
Well, you're
to,
big on Netflix.
We
kids.
Are big on Netflix. So there you go. That's the
are
answer
you missing
right
out
there.
Or?
Well, I don't want to answer that live on air, but just read between the lines. Okay. But I want the TV gone by the time I get home. So Netflix. Why would this have changed our lives? Has it affected your life, Batesy, or not?
Well, yeah, I would say that it does ruin your life because what happens is you sort of get so hooked into shows, and instead of it finishing at 8:30, then you don't have an episode for another week.
Yeah.
You can just binge
watch. Oh, let's watch another one. We do that.
And then you watch it till like 10:30, and then you go to bed and you're like, I'm too tired. Mm. Whereas before you'd go to bed at like 9:30 because you can't watch anything else.
Yeah.
You got a bit of time off.
We tend to watch sometimes four episodes at once.
Oh, it's so...
Because you get to a critical time, you go, oh, watch one more, watch one more.
Yeah, and you can't stop. It's addictive.
Yeah. It's good, though, just to have that something to look forward to. Like, I'm looking forward to Russell Court every Sunday night now. If I just sat and watched all the episodes, you'd be done.
Yeah, fair point. Alice the Wag, what's happening in your house?
Well, this is why I don't let us have a TV in the bedroom.
No.
We've only got the one TV, so we have to at least watch TV together.
Right.
But Joel really wants a TV in the bedroom because, like, if he's watching golf or whatever, then he can be like, oh, go away.
Golf? In the bedroom?
How romantic.
Well, at least then, like, he can keep up with it. And then, but I think it ruins sex life having a TV in the bedroom, definitely.
Mm.
Because one person's always watching it while you're falling asleep, and that's prime time.
Mm. You can do two things at once.
Yep. Yeah,
oh, yeah, because that's so romantic.
It's not about romantic. It's about time management.
That's right.
Hey, now let's get on to another topic.
Your voice.
Why are guys single? We've got all the answers here to why guys might be single and not being able to get into a relationship.
There's a list here. It's the top 45 reasons.
45. I've only made up 45, the girls here. Righto.
What have you got for us?
Give us some ideas, girls, of why blokes would be single or, you know, missing out. See if you can get in the top 10. Come on.
Okay, top 10.
You girls wrote the article, not you two.
No, scientists have.
Yeah, female scientists.
Mm-hmm.
I would say two higher standards.
Right. So in other words, we want perfect woman. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and it's just not realistic.
Right.
Yeah, that's on there. I'll come back to you. Keep going.
Ugly.
Other ideas.
When you're ugly.
Poor looks, that's ugly. Number one, yep. So, and in brackets,
how shallow are you?
In brackets, including baldness and being short.
So it's all about looks, short, isn't it?
It's bald. Really over for you, Ru, isn't
what
it?
What about my brain?
Oh, come on. Paige's just drilled me. Oh, it's all over for you, Ru. Oh, yeah, that's nice. Thank you.
All right, what are the other reasons? Why bloke single?
I would say not replying to text messages or, like, being too hard to get, too cool.
Right.
Just no effort.
Introverted, poor flirting skills. That's in the top 10.
This is more of a vending session.
Yeah, that's right. Keep going, girls. Yep. Bad experiences with
not buying enough presents.
That's not on here.
Of course.
Being
unhygienic.
Overweight.
Yeah, unhygienic.
Different priorities.
Yeah, boys' hygiene and girls' hygiene is two different things.
Mm.
Bad hygiene.
Yeah, that's a really bad one.
Okay. Too picky was number 13, by the way, Batesy.
Being stingy, like going on a first date and like not shouting. I reckon that would be up there.
All right, yep.
Giving off the the impression that you're playing the field a bit.
Right.
Yeah, that is a big one.
Really?
Like having a big ego.
Playboy.
They said there was 43 reasons. Number 36 is an interesting one.
What does that say?
Homosexual.
Yeah, that'd do it. Yeah, no. I couldn't get a girl because I'm actually homosexual.
Yeah,
that's just like.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right,
isn't that
good. A given? Yeah,
I thought
so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Triple M and Channel 7's One Night in September, presented by Bob Jane T-Marts, takes you onto the field, up the tunnel, inside the change rooms, and into the depths of Adelaide Oval. One Night in September.
Oh, how big is this going to be, Dits? Triple M and Channel 7's One Night in September is on sale now. And can I just say quickly, premium seating in the goal square sold out, Dits. The $150 tickets are gone. We've still got reserve seating in the inside 50 section. That is sold really fast as well.
Gee.
And the general admission had a big day yesterday, our first day on sale yesterday. So if you want to get along to this great night, which is leading into the first week of finals, and you want to see Wayne Carey, Brian Taylor, Charlie Dixon, Brad Ebert, Rory Sloane, Tex Walker, Jars Louis, us Screaming Jets as well, you better hurry up.
Great lineup.
$25 $10 a ticket. That's all it costs to get along to One Night in September. But you got to go to triplem.com.au. If you don't do it today or tomorrow, you're probably not going to get a ticket. So get your backside online and get on board.
You haven't missed Ruined Dits, so don't miss SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park. Tickets at thebend.com.au.